to turn it over to you at this time, if I may.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate being on the line today and talking to everyone at Member Solutions and Member Solutions clients. And just a quick introduction for myself. I'm very modest when I do my own introductions. I've been a Member Solutions client, since probably 1998, before they were Member Solutions, back when they were APS. But I always enjoyed that relationship, and it's a pleasure to be working with them, of course. And I've been in the business since 1998, when I was 18 years old, 6 months out of high school. Been having a lot of fun, and currently, at the moment, I run a business society which is for single school operators only. It's called the MA Biz Secret Society. It's at www.mabizsecretsociety.com. You can go there and get some free stuff, some free recordings. One of our recordings, The Insider Secrets of Six-Figure School Owners, and you can get our podcasts and all kinds of cool things from us totally for free. And that's what I do nowadays, and it's a lot of fun helping school owners, especially single school operators, to kind of get their schools to where they want them to be. So let's go ahead and get moving in our program here. If you have the handout, you can look at page one, which is and it's called Magic Words That Bring You Students. And let me tell you where this presentation is kind of a combination of three types of talks I've given over the years. And basically what I've found over the years is that what happens is that your school comes down to three categories. It comes down to the spoken word one-on-one, the spoken word in a group session, in a group environment, and the written word, whether it be to multiple people or to just one person. So we're going to cover what I call the martial art of persuasion, ethical persuasion, in those three areas, one-on-one, in groups, and with the written word. And you'll find that everything is going to come down to the written, spoken word, in print, and in groups. And the better you get at it, and here's the way it actually works. You get to a certain point, and then from there, it's all little details. So what this teleseminar is going to cover is all the little details that, one of my favorite authors, Dan Kennedy, says, little hinges swing big doors. So these are going to be all those little hinges that swing the big doors. And what I've found over the years for myself and our school owner clients is that when they put these little details into effect, it helps them break through their barriers. So here's what we're going to discover. I'm on actually page 3 of the handout. And I'll just kind of, my pages aren't numbered. I have printed mine out. But anyway, I'm on page 3 of the handout where it says what you're going to discover. And we're just use this as an outline. And you can take your notes, and then you can combine it, and then you can just have this thing and keep it as a desk reference from time to time and go back to it to go over what we covered, and then actually when you want to put it into action. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to discover. And it's totally confidential. We're going to go over real-world, under-the-radar persuasion using the written and spoken word in three key areas, one-on-one, in print, and with groups. Now, with groups, you're able to command massive amounts of leverage. Because if you can get in front of or communicate with 20, 30, 50, 100, 200, 300 people and do it the right way, do it persuasively, do it ethically, do it effectively, you can command massive leverage. And what happens is you end up spending the same amount of time and get a whole lot more results. So from that same 60 minutes or the same 24 hours in a day, if you can leverage yourself through the written, spoken word persuasion, especially written word, as you'll discover, you can really get a whole lot of great results from that. So moving on, I'm on actually page 4 now. If you look, sometimes the phone can be very cold and the internet can be very cold, and so I put some pictures of me, so you know who you're dealing with there, and that's me with the family and teaching some classes and at the Bell promotion and things like that. And on the next page, I think it's page 5, you know, there's some, this is as many as I could fit on a page as far as testimonials. And one thing you'll notice about these testimonials from these school owners is that it was all about making little tweaks that got them great results. So that's something for you to check out. And I couldn't get any more on there and keep the print at the type size at a size where you can actually read it. So I only put 3. Maybe I'll squeeze another one on there. All right, if you move forward, before we're kind of diving in here, we're doing a lot of setup here. And I'm actually on, I think it's page 6 now, and it's a little cartoon. It says, "Why under the radar?" And here's this this guy's applying for a sales job, which is something that we all got to do as school owners, is we all got to sell, whether we like it or not. And the boss is saying, "Hey, we only employ first-class salesmen here because we produce inferior products." So the reason why you want to be under the radar is because whenever you're in a situation where you're trying to sell something that's inferior, you are totally, you really have to be high pressure. And as martial arts school owners, we don't have to be high pressure. Granted that we have a very strong and a superior product and service. So what we have to do, though, without being high pressure, the total opposite of being high pressure is to totally fly under the radar, and that's what we're going to really discover today, is totally flying under the radar. So, and a lot of times it takes martial arts school owners out of their comfort zone when they feel as though they have to sell or they have to use these slick techniques, and you'll find that you don't have to do any of that as we move forward. So that's what I call under the radar persuasion. Is when you're totally, it's totally the prospect or the target or the student or the parent, whoever it is, they feel as though 100% they haven't been pressured into the decision, that they're making the decision on their own. And then the best part of using under-the-radar persuasion and in your marketing is that people actually come to you as a result of your marketing and the words you're using totally on their own as well. So, again, move forward there. And I'm losing track of my pages here because they're not numbered on the handout. I think we're on page 7 where it says number one priority, and which is the ultimate success formula. And this is something that I came up with here, and who knows where I stole it from. I'm not really sure, but it kind of popped into my mind one day, and it goes like this. Use the right words, say them the right way, at the right time, to the right people, and remember, what comes out of your mouth equals your success in life. And the little joke there is, just ask your spouse, your significant other, how important that is about what comes out of your mouth. Being married for 4 years now, it's something that Jamie and I always pay attention to, what we say to each other. So that's the ultimate success formula. I think it's so valid to our business because everything we do comes down to our words. Everything we do comes down to what we say, how we say it, what we write, and what words we actually choose to use. So that's how important that is, and I think it's a big deal for all of us. So let's move into the next page. I believe it's page 8 or so, and it says up top, the real keys to one-on-one persuasion. No gimmicks, okay? No gimmicks here. That's what I promise. I'm going to go through 8 things. I'm going to go through first impressions. I'm going to tell you what the ultimate shortcut in the persuasive process is. We're going to talk about building long-term relationships and how to do that. Number 4 is something I learned from a guy named Kenrick Cleveland, who is a world-class persuasion expert, called Getting to the Core. Number 5, we're going to talk about some scare words that you need to avoid, like the plague. We're going to talk about the easiest way to enroll a new student, how to beat We Want to Think It Over, and then, all right, I'll give you one gimmick for number 8 if you want. But here's something that my statistic over the years, is that 50% of our success in the martial arts business will come from our ability to persuade in a one-to-one environment. So let's go over these 8 key areas. Let's talk about first impressions. And I'm not going to – I did a teleseminar, I don't know, probably almost a year ago now for Member Solutions, and maybe we can revisit it in the future, on the complete enrollment and phone call and walk-in process and how to get somebody to enroll in your school very quickly. So I'm not going to really go through that, but I want to talk about what is actually being utilized by some successful schools now in terms of first impressions. Now, obviously, the phone has to be tight, the marketing has to be tight, the walk-in procedures has to be tight when someone comes to you. And what I'm going to do real quick is kind of challenge the conventional wisdom on first impressions. And a lot of us think that, and this can also be a byproduct of what's going on right now. There's no hiding the fact that most schools are a little bit slower this time, you know, coming off the summer and, you know, the shaky economy, what I call is the adjusting economy. that's taking place. And if you go back, everything happens in cycles. If you go back 8 years ago when the Clinton administration was on its way out, we were recovering from the dot-com bubble bursting. And so history does repeat itself. So I'm sure in the next few months we'll be in our next golden era, as we always come out stronger. But anyway, first impressions. Challenge the conventional wisdom of being too eager on a first impression. When you get that phone call, when you get that walk-in or whatever the case may be, I'll give you an example. The phone rings, bad idea to pick it up on ring one, bad idea to pick it up on ring two, best idea, pick it up on ring three. Bad idea, pick it up on ring four, five, or six. But right there around three or so shows that you are you're not eager, but yet you care. So that's just an example of how detailed you can get with it. The other challenge to the first impressions is in the, let's call it the meet and greet process, when someone's coming in to tour your school, whether it's an adult, a child, a family, for an introductory lesson or something like that, you want to avoid the tendency on the first impression to be overzealous. And like I said, a lot of times, especially if a school's going through a little bit of a slow period where they're not getting as many students as they're used to getting, they can be very excited, almost to the point of jumping up and down when they have a few intros scheduled for the evening. But you want to be careful not to come off as too eager and to be mindful of your space, the spatial requirements that people are comfortable with, and to also be mindful of your tone. And the tone you want to give out, and I'll just give you some words. Here's an example that we're kind of tweaking our walk-in process with a lot of our schools that we deal with, and they're having great success with this. And, for example, at the end of the walk-in process, where you go through the introductory lesson as an option, you say, introductory lesson will give you a chance to kind of check things out and see how the program can help you with the benefits, and you go through the benefits that they want. And, you know, this may be for you, it may not be for you, but there's no charge to do this, and at least we'll both know what's better for you, Thursday or Friday. So these are just some little adjustments that we've made over the course of the last few months that are working very well to almost give the impression as, hey, you know, I'm not really desperate for your business, you know. And you're not really saying that I can care less, but you're saying I'm not really desperate, and that gives off a better subconscious trigger. So that's just an example of how you want to look at your first impressions of whether it be phone, whether it be walk-in, whether it be introductory lesson, and just make sure that they're not coming off as too overzealous, and feel free to steal those words as you're dealing with somebody as far as telling them how to check your school out. All right, let's go on to number two, which is the ultimate shortcut in the persuasive process, and that is trust. Trust is the ultimate shortcut in the persuasive process, and here's a couple ways to build trust very quickly in about 10 seconds or less. So in 10 seconds or less, people are usually going to decide whether they're going to keep their minds open to what you're saying and do business with you, or at least explore the opportunity to do business with you, or they're going to turn you off. And it happens totally on a subconscious level. Now, since trust is the ultimate shortcut, how do you build trust in 10 seconds? Ooh, man, that might be pretty tough. Build trust in 10 seconds. Well, how do you do that? Well, the easiest way to build trust in 10 seconds is for meeting somebody is basically what happened before they met you. And the biggest single determining factor to building trust, especially in the business world, is dependability. And, you know, I feel bad because a lot of martial arts schools, they shoot themselves in the foot because one thing they hardly do is answer their phone during normal business hours. And we find constantly that the most successful schools in the world, in the country right now, are very radical with answering their phone. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be kind of on call like a doctor 24 hours a day and answer your phone at all hours of the night. Believe me, I've done that before. When I was in my early 20s, our school, you know, back in the early part of 2000 and beyond, I mean, we were a $30,000 plus a month school. And one thing I used to do is I used to be a total nut about answering the phone, and I was single and didn't really have a lot of responsibility, so I'd walk around with that thing on my hip to my cell phone, and hey, it paid off well, I'll tell you that, because the numbers don't lie. Now, as things progressed and I started to kind of realize that I didn't have to answer the phone all the time, what I did was start to delegate that out to staff members and my partner. So if you have one or two other people that you can help you answer the phone, I'd highly recommend that you do that and have them trained. If you want a really can't lose phone script, just go grab it at www.martialartistselling.com and have them really trained on that, because, again, what comes down to the ultimate shortcut in the persuasive process is dependability. And immediately when someone doesn't answer their phone or doesn't get a return phone call back in a timely manner, what happens is the trust starts to erode. So these are all little details that you need to have in place. So dependability, trust. And you might say, well, what if what if my school is new? How do I show that I have dependability if I've only been around for, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever the case may be? Well, you could do that just by covering all the other bases. The one guy's been in town for 20 years, but he's never there before 5 o'clock, and he hardly ever answers his phone. Well, I've been there for a year, 2 years, and I answer my phone, and, someone is there if someone wants to walk in. Now, of course, you have to adjust based on your life situation, but just keep that in mind. The ultimate shortcut in the persuasive process is trust, and how you can build trust with somebody within the first 10 seconds of meeting them is what happened prior. After that, as far as building trust goes, it's making sure that you're not coming off too eager and too overzealous. And that's one of the big keys in actually knowing from the start that you'll be able to ethically and successfully persuade a new student. So just keep all that in mind. Let's go on to 3, which is building long-term personal relationships. And I would circle that word, personal. Now, one thing that I encourage any school, or especially our Secret Society clients, to do is kind of what in the Harvard Business School, it's called future perfect planning, where you actually, they work backwards, totally work backwards. And Stephen Covey will say, begin with the end in mind. But in the Harvard Business School was future perfect planning, and basically, okay, how did we get here? And, okay, what did we do right before we got here? Okay, what did we do right before we got there? And then you just kind of build it backwards. So here's what I'm getting at. You have to look at your studio and say, okay, from how many contracts I'm going to submit to Member Solutions, which be sure you're submitting all your contracts to Member Solutions, take a large load off your plate there. As far as how many contracts I'm going to have in place with Member Solutions and how many families, you want to say just families, whether it's kids, adults, whatever the case may be, and they're just kind of a single unit in the relationship that you need to build. Obviously, you've got to build a personal relationship with every person you work with. But realistically, from a dollars that I want to earn per month, from the life I want to lead, how many people do I want to have in my studio? And that's how many long-term relationships that you're going to have to nurture. Now, there's a couple ways to build long-term personal relationships with people. Obviously early on you're going to spend a lot of time with them, interviewing them in your studio. As they move forward in your upgrade process, which is something we're going to talk about in a minute, you're going to spend more time talking to them. But there's a way to actually blanket a personal relationship, meaning you can have everybody in your studio feel as though, see, what they need to do is feel as though they have a personal relationship with you. See, you can think all day long that you have a personal relationship with them, but if they don't feel as though they have a personal relationship with you, that can hurt retention. And one thing that really builds retention is that long-term personal relationship. And the best way to think about it is, what can I let... See, everyone loves insider information. Okay, no matter how much we all deny it, everybody loves gossip, everybody loves the latest news, everybody loves insider information. So what can you tell your students about yourself, not as far as bragging, but what can you let your students in on about you, yourself, your family? Remember, people buy from people. So what can you let them know about you? I'll give you an example. Ever since, when did the Republican National Convention end? It ended, about a week and a half ago or something like that, when Sarah Palin took the podium and spoke. The news has been all over Sarah Palin since then. And I tell you, when she spoke, she totally let people in on her life. So she built trust because people got to feel as though they got to know her. and build some rapport with her. So that's one thing you got to think about, what you can do with your students. What can you let them in on, some insider information about you, your family, whereas you're not really stepping over the edge and revealing too much about yourself that you don't want to reveal, but you're making them feel as though, hey, you know, that guy Mike, I really know him. Here's an example. I mean, just flip back a few pages, and you'll see the picture of my family and I. I mean, there you go. I mean, that's me. And I hope, you know, from looking at that, you feel like you know me just a little bit, and at least enough to feel good about talking to me today. So it's just an example. So that's the key way to build beyond interviews and asking questions and sitting down next to people, is to let them know a little bit about you personally. And you want to kind of be this character. Here's another example. Who stands behind our pancakes? If we were in a group, everyone would start to laugh. What do you mean, who stands behind our pancakes? Well, Aunt Jemima. Aunt Jemima stands behind our pancakes. Mrs. Butterworth stands behind our people. You know, even though she's a fictional character, they still, I forget what company produces that syrup, but, you know, they still put a person, even if it's a fictional character, we still trust in Aunt Jemima. How about who stands behind our chicken? You know, Colonel Sanders, okay, KFC. So it's just an example of even how big corporations try to utilize that personality type thing. So that's something you can do. I mean, martial arts school owners have the ultimate personality business, and you want to let your personality shine through and use it as your greatest asset, because it really is. And that's how you'll build long-term relationships, and one of the key ways is to kind of let them in on a little bit of insider information. One more shameless example. In 2007, early 2007, I opened a brand new school. It was my second school that I owned. And when we just launched our Black Belt Leadership Program, which was our higher price program, we had people paying at the low end about $210 a month or so, or $229 a month, something like that. The first, I believe when we were still at only about 20 people in that program, one of the first actual events I did, Black Belt Leadership events I did, special events, which really got a lot of buzz, I had a pool where we lived before. We used to live in New Jersey, and I had a swimming pool there. We don't have one now in New Hampshire because they're just not practical up here. You probably can only use them about 5 days a year because of the weather. But we had a swimming pool and a big backyard. So what did I do? You know, I actually let my advanced students who were paying some big bucks, not my advanced students, but my students on the advanced membership, I let them come to my house. And that was our leadership event, was to hang at the pool. And more people talked about that and talked about the different cool martial arts lessons that we used to do in that program. And everybody in there, their retention barometer just pow, shot through the roof. So it's another way to build personal relationships. Now, of course, you don't have to invite them all over to your house for dinner or anything like that, but just an example, if you have 100 people in your leadership program or your Black Belt program, that might be impractical, but you need to think about certain ways. Like I said, I utilized that when we were at about 100 students or so. We just opened a few months prior, and we just launched our leadership Black Belt program, so we had about 20 in that program as we rolled it out. So it really got a lot of buzz going, too. So it's just an example. You need to build long-term personal relationships with your people. All right, let's talk about getting to the core. Now, this one we're going to go over real quickly, because actually I got to pick up the speed here and get my words per minute up a little bit, so you're going to have to listen very fast. But getting to the core is something I learned from another persuasion expert named, from Kenrick Cleveland as well. I learned a bunch from Kevin Hogan. I definitely recommend both of those guys. But anyway, getting to the core is, it's not enough to say, hey, let's just say you're dealing with an intro. What are you looking for in a martial arts program for Joey? Well, I want confidence and discipline. Okay, next question. It's not enough to do that. Getting to the core is basically digging a little deeper. Okay, digging a little deeper. Now, if I was to ask you, okay, hey, what motivated you get on the teleseminar today? Well, I wanted to find out a little bit more about persuasion. Okay, well, if you're finding out a little more persuasion, I mean, what's that basically going to help you with? Well, it's going to help me with my introductory lessons and all that kind of stuff. Okay, how are you now with your introductory lessons? Everything going okay with that? And then, you see the example, I just go a little bit more in detail. So, example on confidence. All right, I want confidence for Joey. Okay, confidence for Joey. Well, you know, in what areas do you want to see his confidence improve? Is it at home, or is it at school, or is it in social situations? Well, mostly in social situations. Well, how do you mean that? Well, he tends to back down and kind of, you know, turn his head down to the floor, and he's really reluctant to make friends, and then when he comes home, he's very depressed because he didn't get to play with all the other kids. So basically, I really want to see him, you know, take bolder action and really step out of his comfort zone a little bit. Okay, and so what you're saying is you want to see him interact with other children a little better, maybe look them in the eye and things like that. Is that what you're looking for? Absolutely. Well, how do you think that would help him? Well, you know, he's just going to feel so much better about himself. And, you know, so you see where I'm going is you're going to get to the core, and that really builds a lot of trust as you want to get to the core. And here's the ultimate attitude in persuasion. The ultimate attitude in persuasion is an attitude of curiosity. You want to be really curious, curious about how people think, curious about what they want, and it's got to be a genuine curiosity, a really genuine curiosity about what makes other folks tick. I just got done reading a book from South Philly, and you can't help if you're from South Philly to kind of know that the mafia exists, you know, La Cosa Nostra, and I'm also happen to be of Italian-American descent, so that makes it even tougher not to have a little bit of curiosity about the mafioso. And I just read a book called Uncle Frank, the biography of Frank Costello, who, if he had had different circumstances, he would have been a heck of a businessman and politician. But anyway, he was the character, the real-life person that all the Godfather movies were based on. And one thing they said about his biography, that he just had an enormous curiosity about people. And it was, you know, even though he was a criminal and a racketeer, he actually, like I said, had he come from the right side of the tracks, he would have been a very good businessman and politician. But anyway, that curiosity is so important in getting to the core. And then number five, let's talk about scare words. Scare words you want to avoid like the plague. I'll just give you a real quick example as we blow through. Ooh, let's see. Do me a Mr. Jones, I'll need you to go ahead and sign here on the contract, and then I'll submit that to my billing company. Ooh, that was really scary. Okay, that can sink you, so, as Tom Hopkins says, sink you so close to home you can smell the biscuits baking. Now, to give you an example, so here's my sentence. And my sentence was, Mr. Jones, please sign here, sign the contract here, and then I'm going to submit this to my billing company. Ouch. If I was going to reword that to more friendly verbiage, I would say, Mr. Jones, what I'll need you to do is go ahead and put your name right here by the check mark and on our paperwork here. And then once everything's complete, I'm going to go ahead and submit this to our outside service, that outside service member solutions that helps us collect our tuition. So you see how much more friendlier and non-scary that actually sounds. So you want to look, and where am I using words like contract? Where am I using words like billing? Where am I using words like down payment? And you want to substitute those words, okay? The word for all of your programs, it should be tuition. It should never be monthly bill or price. It's always tuition. You know, down payment should always be initial tuition, okay? So you want to think about using some friendlier words and using them all the time. Okay, what's the easiest way to enroll a new student? Well, the easiest way to enroll a new student after you've done an introductory lesson is to simply give them an alternative choice. Now, I'm a firm believer that 90 to 95 or 100% of your students should probably pay you monthly, okay? It's, you know, the paid in full world is not a world for amateurs, okay? And you know, in my lifetime, I've seen anywhere from, with our memberships, anywhere from 80 to 90%, you know, choosing the monthly option, which is fine, because I just give you a quick you know, bias for doing monthly tuition is that, you know, if you ever got in a situation where you needed to, I don't know, maybe sell your school, or maybe, you know, certain circumstances, and either positive or negative, you needed to kind of move on, but, you know, your monthly tuition is an actual asset for you. You know, those contracts, and I'm going to call them contracts here, but, you know, agreements or paperwork, those agreements that you submit to Member Solutions every month, they make your school an actual asset, okay? So it's very important. But here's what I'm getting at. I just want to make sure I wasn't contradicting myself. Well, you're saying everybody should be on monthly tuition. How can I give them an alternative choice? Well, here's what you would do. You can either have a compressed tuition option, or you have your basic monthly tuition option, or you have your paid in full option, okay? You just pick two, though. Only pick two, because if you pick more than that, you're going to confuse people. Give you a quick example. Most of my students in my last school, they chose the monthly option, which for the basic program was $369 as initial tuition, so $369 as a down payment, as I'm speaking to you guys, and $169 each month. The paid in full option was only a savings of a couple hundred bucks, and anywhere from 1% to 8% would do it. It was a very small percentage, and I'm glad it was that because, you know, eventually I sold that school based on the billing volume. So, you know, the A or B choice is the easiest way to enroll somebody is let them pick an option. So it would be Mrs. Jones, you know, option one is for $369 initial tuition, and it's going to be $169 each month. Or option two, save a couple hundred bucks over the course of the year, it's $1,997, so it's $1,997. Which one works better for you, the monthly one or the prepaid cash savings one? And, you know, they're going to go for the monthly one. Most of them are going to go for the monthly one. Okay, so you want to give them an A or B is the most important thing to do. All right, so how do you beat we want to think it over? Well, the best way, because that's the one that you guys hate the most, is when someone says, okay, well, great, you know, 369, okay, let me think about that, and we'll call you in a couple days. Ugh, you know, you almost want to, like, you know, grab them as they're walking out, you know, and you're grasping at straws. It's like a ghost. So the easiest way to beat we want to think it over is after you do your introductory lesson, it could be an adult, it could be a child, either way, you want to jump, you want to get out of that room as quickly as possible. Now, you don't run out of the room, but you say, let's say you're working with a kid. Hey, Joey, it's really good. Do me a favor. Just have a seat right back here and put your shoes and socks on, and I'll be right back, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Give me a sec. And then you leave for a couple of minutes, you know, no more than 3 or 4 minutes. And you, you know, check your voicemail or you talk to your staff member or you go out in the classroom, whatever the case may be. But you leave, you get out of there, and that's really the best way to beat we want to think it over. So if you're dealing with a child, you have mom and dad sitting there, and they're kind of going to be conversing and having a conversation in there that they wouldn't be having if you were sitting in there. And that's real important that you do that. And that's usually that's what I've found over the years in my experience is the best, absolute best way to beat we want to think it over. Because basically they just thought it over, okay? When they were sitting there conversing, that's what they did. They thought it over. Okay, they totally thought it over. So that's one way to beat that. All right, next, let's move on. I'll give you one gimmick, and this is something I've given before on this teleseminar when I go into my introductory lesson, you know, how to enroll someone on day one. But anyway, here's the gimmick. One gimmick for you. If you're sitting there and someone is, they're looking over their paperwork and they're kind of those people that they want to look at every little detail of the agreement before they sign it, before they authorize it, because someone told them they should always, you know, read everything over. What you do is, and you catch them doing that, you really don't have the time, you know, to not that you want to rush them out of there, but if you're busy, you have something else going on, and they've already agreed, they've already given you their tuition, this can be a very sensitive time where they're sitting there studying your agreement. After they've given you the deposit and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want this to kill your enrollment, you know. The worst thing you can do, you know, everything seems good. I would let you just take this home and read it over. Ooh, and if you're in a rush because you got an introductory lesson coming behind them or you got to go teach class, you might be tempted to do that, but don't. Don't do that. That's just a horrible thing to do. But what you do, if someone's ever sitting there studying your agreement, you just start talking to them. As they're kind of looking it over, they're trying to pretend that they're really doing their due diligence. You just start talking to them. Hey, you know, how long you live in the area? Hey, you know, blah 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 blah. And that's when you make your small talk. I actually use this technique on attorneys, and it works on them as well. And they're trained to look at contracts. So there's a little fun gimmick for you. All right, persuasion and your upgrade process. Now I did move on to the next page. I think it's 8 or 9 or 10, but it's headlined with persuasion and your upgrade process. And let's go over the big mistakes made in the upgrade process. The easiest way to get 80% of your students to upgrade, the very best way to boost retention, and other little magic retention boosters. Okay, so 2 and 3 really kind of tie together. But let's go over 1. And here's the big mistake that most people make in their upgrade process. The big mistake that most people make in their upgrade process is that they want to sell more time. Okay, they want to sell more time to their students. Okay, our black belt program meets on Friday nights, and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay, you know, that's not a good thing, okay? That's not something that, really convinces people to want to do it. Or you get to train more days. Right now you're limited to two. You get to train three or four. I like to let people train as much as they want from the gate coming in, and then when they get people that are training three or four, then you know who's hot and who's not, okay? So that's one just off topic there, something to think about with your upgrade process. But anyway, so that's the big mistake is they want to sell time. What you really are is you're in the information business. People come to you for information. They want to know what's in your head. They want to get their bodies to do what you do. They want to get our bodies to do what we do. So knowing that, here's my little fun analogy. Recently I was flipping through the channels. Jamie was next to me, and you wouldn't believe it, but I actually had the remote. Usually it doesn't work that way. Usually she grabs the remote before I do, or she takes it from me. So I'm flipping through the channels, and she's sitting there next to me, and I came across the Jet Li movie, Kiss of the Dragon. And it was right at the end of Kiss of the Dragon, and I said, oh, Jamie, you got to watch this. This is really cool. Watch this move, what he does. He'll tell me about it. No, just watch it. And at the end of the movie, he puts the little acupuncture needle in the guy's neck, and all the blood rushes to his brain, and he dies a slow, painful death. And here's what I thought right at that moment. I said, ooh, this makes perfect sense for martial artists. Now, of course, we'd all love to know how Jet Li did that and how his character did that, and if we can learn that move, that would be great. We'd all want to learn how to do that. But here's the thing. It's really just a matter of putting the needle in the right spot. I mean, how long do you think it would take Jet Li to actually teach that to somebody? He'd just say, okay, you'll put the needle here, you know, and that's it, you're done. And, you know, okay, thank you, $1,000. Okay, no problem, I'll hand it right over to you to learn how to do that. So that's just an example of, you know, it'll take him 2 minutes, but it's the information, it's the knowledge that he gave you. And that's one thing to think about with your upgrade process is, okay, where do I package the information, not the time? And that's the big mistake that a lot of martial arts school owners make. So think about that. All right, the easiest way to get 80% of your students to upgrade is to have a surefire system. And I'm just going to give you, you know, some quick examples of how the magic words kind of tie into the surefire system. Some of the magic words on the front end are when someone's enrolling and you're explaining your program, is to explain them. Okay, Mrs. Jones, this is our 12-month program. This is a chance for you to check things out and make sure you qualify for our black belt training, and that happens within, you know, 1 to 2 months of being involved in our program. You know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. And that's how you kind of pre-frame and plant the seed. After that, a couple of magic words that you want to put in place are to confirm their first group lesson. And what this does psychologically is it takes you out of the realm of health club. And unfortunately, a lot of people in a lot of areas still lump martial arts schools in with health clubs for whatever reason. And one way to set yourself apart is to be sure, even after someone's given you money to enroll in your program, you're confirming their first group lesson. And it could be something, let's say it's a woman that's coming into your adult class. You call them up, hey Mary? Yeah, this is Mary. Hey Mary, this is Mike over at ABC Martial Arts. How are you? Oh, I'm doing well. Okay. Hey, I wanted to just confirm for you, your first group session is tonight at 7:30. I just want to be sure you're all set, see if you have any questions for that, and again, we look forward to seeing you. Everything, you all ready to go for that? Oh yeah, I'll be there at 7:30. Okay. If you have anything else, you need anything, just feel free to give us a call. Otherwise, we'll see you at 7:30. Thanks a lot. And what that does is that right there, those magic words pretty much set you apart from the health club. After that, you want to be sure that you're calling every student who does a first class after that to kind of see how it went and kind of congratulate them. With kids, it works really well to kind of leave them a voicemail. They love that. You know, they love to be left a voicemail. You know, this message is for little Joey, by the way. I was watching your class, and I love the way you were yelling and punching. And those are some magic words that really go a long way. Then you get into your written stuff, you know, your good job notes and your and stuff like that. And then the key, the easiest way to get, you know, your students to upgrade is to make sure it's a two-step process. I talk with a lot of people who, before they get their head around the process, is, you know, they want to just kind of talk to somebody and get the upgrade, and they feel like it's high pressure. Well, it is, okay? The easiest way to do that is to have a two-step conference, two-step upgrade process, and here's the magic word. Just write this down and remember it. It's because. Because. That's the magic word. And here's how it goes. How you initiate any two-step process for your upgrade to start your upgrades is that use the word because. Now, here's an example. Let's just say you're kind of on target, and what we encourage all of our clients to do is to be having the first what we call parent-teacher or you know, student-teacher, if it's an adult conference, at no later than the 30-day mark. Okay, no later than the 30-day mark. No earlier, really, than like the 20-day mark. If anything earlier than that, it just comes off as too high pressure. But because you put in a two-step process, there's no pressure at all anyway. But anyway, the word is because, and it's, let's just say it's a parent. Mrs. Jones, I need because you've been training for about a month now, I need to make arrangements to speak with you and Mr. Jones regarding Joey's progress so far. When are you guys coming back to class? This day or this day? Now, it works on 6 months. You know, let's say you're super busy with new enrollments and you haven't got a chance to talk to people about their upgrade. Or let's just say you're listening to this call right now and you don't have an upgrade process. Well, it's real simple. You look at how long they've been training, and most of you, I'm sure, if you're like me, you kind of have a very good memory for detail on your students. You know, just without even looking up their agreement or their stats, when they started with you, and you can say, Mr. Jones, because you've been here for 6 months, because you've been here for 8 months, because you've been here for 3 months, because you've been here for 2 months, just use the word because. And right there, it's kind of like a drop. Oh, because I've been here for 2 months, he's got to talk to me. Or because I've been here for 3 months, he's got to talk to me. And then from there, you make it a two-step process with an application in between, and that's a surefire way to get your upgrades kicking up on high gear. All right, so two and three, like I said, they tie together because obviously the easiest way to boost retention is to have a lot of people psychologically committed to their black belt, okay? To their black belt, they're psychologically committed. But here are some other little magic retention boosters. You want to model the entertainment industry, okay? The entertainment industry you cannot argue with. It's the highest paid industry in the world, okay? And you don't want to argue with it because it's just a winner, okay? And you want to model the entertainment industry in a few ways. Here's an example. What's one of the highest-rated TV shows? I guess American Idol, okay? Think about American Idol. Well, who are the staff in American Idol? Well, you got Simon, you got Paula, and you got Randy. And I think I heard that this year there's somebody else coming on new, but that's neither here nor there. You got Simon, Paula, and Randy. And Simon, Paula, and Randy, they have a way they interact with each other. And that's just one little detail, but that one little detail causes people to tune in every week because they want to see, you know, whether Paula shows up drunk or, you know, what Simon's going to say to this guy or what he's going to insult or what he's going to say to Paula and then what Randy's going to say. And that's just one little thing is how their characters are, even though it's a reality show, how their characters actually are. So you want to think about your staff dynamics and think about all the personalities that each person brings to the table, and think about not that you have to have like American Idol or a TV show or a sitcom going on in your school, but think about how your personalities and how your characters can interact with each other. And see, what happens, and people don't understand, is that most of us, most people, it's just the way it is, I mean, to us, our lives are boring, okay? To everybody else, oh, that's exciting, okay? So you got to remember that what you do as a martial arts school owner is very exciting, okay? Like, for instance, you know, what I'm doing right now, talking to you guys on a teleseminar, might seem very exciting to you, but, you know, it's just kind of a normal thing for me. It's something I do all the time. But just an example is how if I'm thinking the wrong way, I can give off the wrong impression that, hey, oh, this is just a boring thing. But no, I'm having a lot of fun here, okay? So you want to have, as an example, you want to make sure you're leveraging that giving people something to look forward to, that excitement. Another little thing you can do right away is to start using cliffhangers in your school. Think about, you know, how do you watch any TV show, if you watch TV at all, or how do you look forward to the next month's issue of whatever. You actually go for the cliffhangers. And here's an example you can use in class. Let's say you have an adult student who's kind of teetering on the edge of dropping out for whatever reason. And at the end of your adult class, you say, all right, next class, it's been great. You know, this week we covered this and this. Next week, 4 days from now, on Monday, what I'll be covering is a self-defense move that actually saved my life. You won't want to miss it. I'll see you guys on Monday. Class dismissed. Now, I don't care what you tell me, but if there was a guy thinking about dropping out on Friday, he's definitely not dropping out until Monday. He wants to at least know what that move is that saved your life. This is an example of how you can use cliffhangers. All right, let's move on here. I'm on page 10 or 11. I'm not really sure which one it is. But I printed my handout out, so they're not page numbered. But this guy here is looking at the cartoon. He sees fridge sales, and I must admit, Johnson is a hell of a salesman because he sold the most refrigerators up in the North Pole. So you all are getting to be good fridge refrigerator salespeople here. But anyway, let's move on to persuasion in print. which is one of my favorite ones. It's, and I call this Money Making Secrets of the Written Word. And here's something you need to give extra care, extra care to everything you put down on paper, anything you put on a computer screen, anything you put on an email. And unfortunately, I see this all the time in our industry. Oh, it's horrible. You know, people don't give enough care to what they put on their websites, to what they put in their flyers. Honestly, that was one of the founding principles of the MMA Biz Secret Society, was to combat and fight the fact that most martial arts school owners' literature, and we call this copy, this is called copy, most copy, marketing copy in the martial arts business is horrendous. Okay, no offense, or offense to anybody who's listening, but that's one of the reasons why we came up with the MMA Biz Secret Society, is actually put words on paper and words on the computer screen that actually work, that are used. So give special care to the words you put out there. And unfortunately, 90%, I'm a fairly good copywriter. I mean, I just finished a brochure for my other business. I'm in the speaking business as well. You know, I speak to groups and stuff like that. So I actually just finished a brochure for my speaking business. I sent it off to a gentleman who's kind of my mentor, and he checked it out, and he came back with three or four things that I missed. So it's just an example. I'm actually fairly good at it, and I missed three or four things and little details that I shouldn't have. So, you know, you have to be really careful. But where does persuasion in print come from? It comes from the ability to persuade one-on-one and in groups. Why it's important is because it can give you massive leverage. You know, one of the things that was helped me start off a new school very quickly and actually helped me build my school in Philadelphia when we really took off and got to the higher numbers was to actually get good sales letters and good postcards and good marketing material out the door and into our prospects' hands. And that's why it's so important. So where is it important? It's important in emails. It's important on flyers. It's important on letters. It's important on postcards. It's important on your website. Okay. One thing you want to remember, number four, and this is again where a lot of school owners fall down, is that they have too many things going on. I did a little class a few weeks ago where I kind of critiqued some websites, and I went to one gentleman's website, and he had multiple things going on. He had you can try it for free, but yet then he had a special where you can come for $39.97 for 6 weeks, and he was basically violating the if you confuse them, you lose them rule. So anything you do in print has to be extremely clear and benefit-oriented, okay? And here I'm going to give you some magic words that you want to use, and I have my notes here of some magic words that you really want to use as you begin to put better things in print, okay? Now here's a few of them. You have words like amazing, announcing, appealing, at last, attention, words like authentic, one that we just covered, because, breakthrough, we have discover, we have discovery, we have guarantee, all right, honest, we have how-to, all right, we have now, we have you, all right, we have risk-free, special offer, stimulating, striking, superior, surefire, timely, the truth about, traditional, trusted, ultimate, unlimited, unusual. Okay, there's a ton of words here that are kind of just slipping through in my notes that I use on a regular basis, okay? And, you know, you want to put in some of these words into your, make sure you're having, you know, words like easily and quickly and effective and energy and exceptional and exciting and exclusive and experience and experienced and expert and fast and free and fresh, okay, in your communication, all right? That's just very important, is to adopt some of these words to your print communication. Now, the most important question to answer whenever you're communicating in print, okay, is who, okay? Who? Who am I speaking with? And let's just say that one of my favorite things to do is to use direct mail sales letters. And the question I'm always asking is, who am I talking to right now? If I was, putting a campaign together where I'm going to be dealing with trying to talk to parents. Well, here's what I'm going to talk to. Say I'm going to talk to, you know, two-parent households, okay? I'm going to be making sure I'm speaking to the mom, because chances are the mom's going to be reading it, all right? So that's the odds I'm going to play. All right, if I'm building an adult program, am I speaking to a middle-aged executive, you know, and 40 years old, that's looking for health and fitness and something to do to help solve his midlife crisis? or am I speaking with, you know, 25-year-old professional who really wants to learn how to kick some butt? All right, and that's what you want to remember is when you're doing anything in print, it's the who, okay, the who, and that's what you want to start with. Go on, and I don't know, 12, I guess, 13, after the page with the question marks, it says FYI and a little light bulb. More powers of the written word, and it's expert credibility. And it's another way to build trust, okay? So expert credibility, when you use the written word in other formats, meaning let's say you have a blog or you have articles that you write or that you publish for your school, you publish a newsletter for your school, well, those written words can begin to get you expert credibility because most people have problems, you know, writing anything. So when you put your words together, it becomes expert credibility. One of the things that we're working on in the Secret Society is like a book project where we're going to have published authors as school owners, okay? Actually, we're going to turn school owners into published authors. I said it's the wrong way around. But it's also another way to build trust, okay? If people get your newsletter or they get an article from you or a report from you, they can actually spend time with you prior to getting started in your school. So these are just certain things to keep in mind. All right, so it's an expert credibility, another way to build trust. All right, now we're going to move forward here. And actually, before we wrap up, we're going to talk real quick on strategies to use in groups. And right now, the page I'm on is a picture of a woman. She's talking to a guy, and she's got a carrot in one hand and a bat in the other. So as you learn and start to employ these techniques, you don't have to be hold the carrot or force the persuasive process. Does anybody have any questions right now before we go in and rapidly cover the group portion, meaning talking
we,
group?
We have Kathy? Quite a few questions online.
Wow, okay, I'm surprised. Am I talking too fast or what?
No, there's plenty of questions for you. They've been coming in while you've been talking, see?
Okay.
So I know we just have about 7 minutes left. Let me start, if you don't mind, with Roxanne. And this question, you know, you've had to do some staff training, so I think you're really qualified to answer this for. Roxanne, they've been in business for 5 years, have 300 students, 34 different instructors. They offer Taekwondo and Jiu-Jitsu. They're having difficulties, though, getting their counter staff to utilize the training that they're giving them when it comes to phone calls, interactions with new students, going over agreements. You know, how do they change that? They feel they're pretty strong leaders, and they just don't get it.
Well, you can't shoot them, right? Because that would
nope.
be illegal. And Kathy, by the way, if you want to, you know, hit that little extend button, I'm fine with that. You know, if you want to go over a few minutes, that's fine with me. If you want to pop that little button and extend it a few minutes.
Sure, I've already figured it, so it's already there for a
okay,
few minutes.
No problem.
So.
All right, so to answer your question, and, you know, honestly, my partner, Brett, is better suited for this one. But, you know, it's going to come down to, and she may have heard all this before, it's going to come down to culture. It's going to come down to, you know, without knowing the details, I'd wonder how incentivized they are. I'd wonder how much they've bought in, you know, to the overall mission. I wonder the who of who she's talking about, right? I'd wonder, say, okay, is it, when you say counter person, is it like a, you know, 20-year-old college student who's kind of passing time, or is it somebody who's a professional martial artist? So those are some of the questions if I was actually dealing with the person, with the caller, or the questioner, whatever you want to call her. One-on-one is what I would ask to find out, okay, are these people even savable, okay? But let's assume that they are. I'd want to know, okay, hey, what, let me hear, you know, how complicated is the, let's, you know, just use a tired term, phone script, how complicated is the, you know, enrollment process? How under the radar is it? Because sometimes you get resistance, Kathy, and I'm just going to talk to you on this because you asked me the question, right?
Sure.
Sometimes you get
sure.
resistance, Kathy, when people don't agree, if they think it's maybe too salesy or they don't think it's natural enough. And those are, you know, some of the things that, you know, we constantly work on is, you know, how do we make this come across as totally easy and natural and flowing? So those are the things I would want to know. But beyond that, the short answer to the question is probably to if you're not already, to up the training and simultaneously up the incentives would definitely help, you know, and then really get it to where it's drilled enough, practice drilled and rehearsed enough to where it's second nature, but more so they kind of understand the why of why it's important, because you know, if some of those little details are left, you know, it can really cause a lot of problems. Hopefully that helps a little bit.
Sure.
But like I said, you know, I'm kind of a detail person, and those few things that I threw out to you initially would help me answer the question more so. So if the person wants to follow up with me, my phone number is right on that handout. So maybe that's a good way to end that. What do you think?
Sure, absolutely. I think that was helpful as well. Another question that's on the web from Kathleen and Tim Cook. They want to know, do you think you'll sign more people up more often if they pay for the trial class or you give them the free class? They thought that offering a week of classes for, say, like $20 or $19.95, but then they kind of teeter between doing that and just offering a free class as, you know, as an ongoing thing.
Well, here's my answer to that. I'm a firm believer because it's been tested so many times in irresistible offers. And so if you are given, like say you are going to charge $19.95, the irresistible offer would be you need to give something back that's like, you know, $300 worth of value, you know, like just as an example. And without making it complicated, what's even more, you know, I forgot to, you know, make sure you throw this in on the magic words, is free, okay? Free is the is one of the most powerful words in marketing and selling. So I'm a firm believer in free trials. And what that does is kind of communicates subconsciously, not that you're cheap, but that, hey, you believe in your thing so much that you don't have to charge, you know, any money for anything. But, you know, she is right to an extent that people do appreciate that more out of what they pay for. But if you're really good and your intro process is good, and, you know, I'm just going to kind of, you know, I'm going to comment on what I heard. What I heard was, you know, $20 for a week of classes. And what I think about right away is like, you know, being thrown into the beginner class. That is not the way any introductory lessons should happen. And, again, it comes down to who you're talking to. If I'm talking to a group of beginners that are on my program already, my communication with them is to get them on my black belt program, and that's my who of who I'm communicating with. If I'm talking to somebody who's not yet enrolled in my school, the basis of my communication is to get them on my 12-month program. So just based, you know, I did hear you say, you know, a week of group classes, and that kind of scares me a little bit. So I'm a big believer on, you know, you can enroll people on day one, but they're going to respond to your marketing offer. That's the thing. If they call your school, if they enroll in your, if they come out of nowhere, they just have an epiphany one day, they want to do martial arts, they're going to take you up on what you say at the end of your call. You go, okay, we have an introductory lesson. It's, hey, you know, it's up to two lessons, totally free for you. And, he, you know, I went into it earlier. Here's, you know, why and blah, 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 blah. Maybe it's free, maybe it's not, but we'll be able to find out. So they're going to take you up on that offer. And when you're marketing, when you start getting the marketing down right, if I'm going to send out, say, a sales letter, well, I'm going to do better sending a sales letter that offers, you know, a week, 2 weeks free, two introductory lessons, a free birthday party, a free uniform, a free T-shirt. I'm going to do better throwing all that stuff out. I'm going to get more people to step up and take me up on my offer. Then if my introductory process is good, then I'm going to get that many more people to enroll. Does that make sense?
Sure, that makes positively a lot of sense.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Another question. Now, Scott had a question earlier, but Scott, I'm not sure. It says talk about pricing. And I think we may have covered that when Mr. Dolby's mentioned he was talking about some different programs and about having two sets of prices rather than three, et cetera. So if you have a more specific question, feel free to type that in really quick so we can get that to him. And we did have another question, too, from Kathleen and Tim as well. And it's regarding using the right words. It's not a respond to sales, but it's in reference to, you know, for example, difficult parents. There's a parent that doesn't want their child to sign up for the program because they say the Pledge of Allegiance before each class, and she actually didn't like the fact that they're having them use yes, ma'am, and yes, sir in class and with the other students. So what's a really great way of explaining that, you know, concisely to a parent that it's a form of respect?
Well, I'll assume that person is voting for Obama. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go there.
But, you better not.
But you know me. I stopped caring years ago, Kathy. But you know, here's my. I can give you personal experience on this one. I did a program at a church where I went in, and you know, and I'm going to go into this next, and this should probably be our last question. But I did a program in a church.
Right.
And it was a non-denominational Christian church that I had actually, you know, oh geez, we're talking politics and religion, but I had actually went to this church, you know, as a, you know, whatever you call it, part of the congregation. And you know, I eventually, like I do with everything I was involved in, was, you know, hey, I'll come in and teach for you, do something, we'll have some fun, and blah, blah, blah. So I did a program, and based on the formula I used, you know, had, you know, enrollment, you know, the following week, you know, actually two, the following week, after this one Sunday. And this person was probably, yeah, you know, a little more slanted to their belief system, just like this other person who's not, doesn't believe in the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, thinks it should be a choice and blah, 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 whatever, you know, the whole thing is, right? I don't want this to be forced upon me. That's the main thing, the psychology you're dealing with, is I don't want you to force me to do this. I don't want you to force me to do anything. And one thing is, you know, to a point, you know, you got 300 students, if your numbers are right, one thing you could say is, well, hey, that's the way we do things, and there's the door. Like, no, that's like the one end of the spectrum. If you're really happy with what you got going on, but I'd be real careful with that, especially with it seems like that kind of person. But here's an example. This Christian woman felt that there was no way that, you know, I cannot call you master. If I call you master, that's a violation of my faith. Well, it was easy for me because, you know, one thing I never did was actually, I never had any of our students address us as master. Right? For one, I'm not ranked as master, but that's the easy explanation. But even so, my explanation was actually, well, we don't do that yet. That might be something that you kind of think that martial arts schools do, and some of them do and some of them don't, and I really don't know. I know what we do here is we teach respect that can be used in the real world. And basically, you know, we go by sir and ma'am, and we also go by Mr. and Mrs. You know, that's just an example of how I kind of dealt with that was, you know, one, I didn't do it, but she was very, very concerned, almost to the point of not even coming in, that she'd have to, you know, it was almost like a false idol type thing. So to getting back to this woman with the Pledge of Allegiance deal, you know, how I would handle this, I mean, you really have to handle it based on the school that you're kind of designing for your life. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's kind of communicating with the respect that you're teaching. Okay, we're showing respect to, you know, the nation we live in. We're showing respect to the dojo we train in. And, you know, these are our rules here at our school that we do this. And I think, and it really depends on this person who's asking this question. It depends on how strong their belief is in these rules. Now, here's the caveat, though. If you bend the rules for her, it makes your rules look that much weaker. So here's what I would say. I'd say if you're, and this goes down back, comes back down to persuasion, if your rules are your rules and you have them in there to keep kind of keep compliance, and that's what you're doing really is to keep compliance, I would be careful about bending them. So I would explain, you know, why you have these certain rules and why they're beneficial, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'd have to go with, you know, hey, I can please some of the people sometimes, but I can't please all the people all the time, because if the moment you compromise on, let's say one of your rules is to bow to the instructors, well, the minute you let the student not bow to the instructors, well, it's not a rule anymore. So I'd say, you know, if you're ingrained in your belief system, you need to stick to your guns, and it'll come off as better for the overall group to not let people violate them. That's definitely not the politically correct answer. But
okay.
I think that's your beliefs, you know, and mm-hmm. That's how you run your school. You need to stick to your guns.
Okay, great. I know we need to wrap up really soon. I know some people had to run already. So, did you have anything else you wanted to finish up with before?
Well,
I just wanted to also.
No, that's fine. We can probably, you know, it can be a whole other subject. But like I said, we can get to the groups another time. But one of the things, real quick, is whenever you're working with groups, you want to have, you know, the easiest way to persuade a group is to kind of give them a common goal, or declare a common enemy. We can talk about that in detail again later. But when you're working with community groups and organizations, you should be able to get, you know, depending on the numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people to enroll back in your school next week, and you want to think about the approach, the visit, and what you say, the time to get in, the time that you invite the people back, and the and what to do when they actually come back. So that can actually probably be a whole other teleseminar in itself, if you want.
Sure.
The other thing that people can do is they can check out that PDF, or they can go to mabizsecretsociety.com or click on any of the links that Kathy sent you to either get the Insider Secrets of Six-Figure School Owners, or they can check us out for 30 days for $19.97. So, and we take good care of Member Solutions clients.
And that would be awesome. And also, you know, I know somebody out there had a question about website critique, so they could also contact you at that phone number to ask you about that?
Yeah, sure. Contact me or send me an email. Mm-hmm. If you don't get me, just leave me a voicemail, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, that's awesome. And I just wanted to point out, too, to everybody that's listening, Mike Dolpe has done some other teleseminars that are really awesome in our archive. And if you're logged into your Member Solutions account online, click to the consulting area, go to the teleconference area. If you just do a search on the page for Mike Dolpe's or just scroll down, he did Can't Lose Phone Skills, December 10th, 2007. That's a really good teleseminar as well. And also October 24th, 2007, enroll 90% or more of your students. And February 27th of this year, he did direct mail secrets that will fill your school. So, you know, if you've liked what you've heard and, you know, visit the MA's Biz Secret Society and also go back and listen to some of those teleseminars in the archives.